Well, thank you again for being here today. Desire and interest in your attention and prayers that our thoughts will be beneficial to all of us. Grateful again to be here in this place. Grateful to be to take the time to set aside for the Lord, for God, for the Savior today. I'd like to consider a subject of worship this morning. If we say worship, I imagine everyone has something that comes into their mind. I don't know what that might be, and obviously, since I'm announced that as a subject, I'm going to try to tell you what's on my mind. So just thinking about worship and what that might entail, I read a definition. It's chiefly and eminently the act of paying divine honors to the supreme being, or the reverence and homage paid to him in religious exercises, consisting of, this is a definition, consisting in adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving, and the like. We give opportunity during our services for people to share thanksgivings, and we had some of those this morning. One that I didn't share, and I should have, I was on my way home from our volunteer project last weekend, and it's coming along about Rogersville, and all of a sudden I noticed I lost power steering, and I looked down, and my alternator light was on, and so I got off of the road, and there was an O'Reilly store, so I pulled into the parking lot, and when I raised the hood, my alternator was on fire. I mean, there was flames like this coming up out of my alternator, and I had a fire extinguisher, and every time I would squirt it, the flames would go out, and then it'd come right back. It's like, I don't know what I'm... I took the battery cables off and ended up running out of fire extinguisher and had some water that I poured on it and finally got it to where the flames didn't come back. I got home with a new alternator pretty late that night. But the thing I have to be thankful for is there was a lot of things that worked out to be a convenience for that kind of breakdown. And I didn't burn my truck completely to the ground. It could have happened. I mean, anytime you see flames under a hood, it's a bad thing. So I'm thankful for that. And part of our worship to God is recognizing the things that we can be thankful for in life. Thankful for health, thankful for family, thankful for good relationships and those kind of things. It's been said that some people worship the ground that other people walk on. And there might be some of that going on here today. There might be somebody that thinks so much of that significant other person that they just about worship the ground that they walk on. You've probably heard that expression to some extent. So we had a guy come in our place of business in the last week or two, and I didn't realize what was happening until later. It was right at 5 o'clock, so I'm not sure exactly how that correlated, but he, in our shop, he shouldn't have been out there anyway, but by his truck that we were working on, he got this little mat out and he rolled it out on the ground, took his shoes off and his hat off, and he knelt down on there, and he was down on his knees, and then next thing I know, he bent over and he had his forehead on the floor, and then he had his hands up and he was saying some kind of prayers, and he was pointed in a specific direction, and I don't know, I think he was off 45 or 50 degrees, but anyway, I'm not sure what his intent was, but he was worshiping something. He was worshiping, he was paying homage to something that is foreign to me. I'm being very plain about that. But this morning I want us to think about what we should worship, maybe a little bit, and really how we should worship. I believe we could all be on the same page this morning to say that our purpose is to worship God, the Creator, and Jesus Christ, His Son. That's why we come to this facility. That's why we believe what we believe, that Christ came to redeem us and to reconcile us with God the Father. So how do we worship the Lord? How is it that we can actually worship that? Do we need a little mat to carry with us and roll it out on the ground at a certain time of each day? Do we need a certain kind of incense to burn? Or what is it that we need to be doing to really worship the Lord? We come here, we call this our worship service. We sing songs. I enjoyed the songs too this morning. We have an opportunity to share Thanksgiving. And if someone gets real excited and they shout and say, "Praise the Lord," I'm not going to say don't do that here, because of all places, this is the place to do that. All right? To worship means to reverence, doesn't it? To reverence something means to elevate something solely upon the merits of having belonged to a particular person. Okay? So reverence means, to worship means to reverence, and reverence means to put extra value on something because it belongs to someone that's important to us. I have some things. I hesitate to say that I worship them, but I have some things that I have, I revere at my house. I have a little hat that my mother wore the day she got married. It's a little faded, a little dingy looking, but I still got it. And I have a pair of really thin wire rim glasses that my great grandmother wore. Now, I don't kneel out on a mat in front of them, but they're valuable to me. Now, if it was your great grandmother's glasses, I would be wondering if there's any gold in it and wondering if we could scrap it out. Okay? I'm just being very plain here, but because it belonged to my great-grandmother, then it's very valuable to me, all right? And this little hat, you probably wouldn't pick it up at a yard sale. You wouldn't. But it's valuable to me because my mother wore it on the day she got married. And if I had a granddaughter someday that wanted to get married and wanted to wear that hat in her wedding, I would think that would be a very honorable thing to do. Even if it is a little dingy, I don't know if you could spray paint it or whatever, but I would just the thought that another descendant would want to marry or want to have something in their wedding or on a special day. That's all valuable, you see. And it's not because I'm elevating it, not because it's worth so much in itself, because it's just a physical article. But the thing that makes it important is it belonged to my mother. Okay? An old tool or something that belonged to your cranky neighbor, you're probably ready to see it go away. But if it's an old tool that belonged to your dad or your grandfather or something like that, it might be something you want to put on a shelf And you might want to keep it because that belonged to my dad, or that was grandpa's. I have my grandfather's anvil out in my shop. Don't know how long he had it. Maybe it's something that was handed down to him. I don't know, but it's not for sale. Okay, I know anvils are worth more than hats people wore at weddings, but it's still not for sale because it belonged to my grandpa. All right. But I'd like for us to notice in John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how do we worship the Lord, and what does it look like for us to worship him today and put value on something that really belongs to him? So I'd like for us to consider how David, you remember David, the king of Israel, that really unified the Israelites in the Old Testament. You remember his character. He was the one that slew the giant as a young boy with a sling. You probably, if you've been to much of any Sunday school classes, I believe that was something that we had as a lesson when Isaac was a young boy coming here. And you remember, we had a fellow, one of my boys was walking on stilts, and we pretended he was the giant and had a sling and all of that. Anyway, so that's the man I want to talk about a little bit. I'd like to go to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament over here in the 24th chapter and read a verse here. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And notice in verse 6, I believe, it says, David was running for his life because the king at that time was threatening to take his life. And yet this king that was threatening him was a man that had been anointed to be king by God. Okay? So in 24 and 6, well, maybe we'll read a little above that. Saul, the man that was chasing him, came into the cave that David and his men were in and settled in for the night. And they went to sleep, all of them. And David and his men, it says in verse 4, the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. So he snuck up there and cut a piece off of his clothing. That's how close he was. And he had a knife sharp enough, think about this, that he could cut that off without waking him up. That's not a dull knife. It's not my pocket knife. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. All right. So David was feeling convicted, or his heart smote him, because he had done something to kind of violate the person that had been anointed to be king before him, although there was conflict there, although it wasn't a happy handoff from one reign to the next reign. It was something that David had respect to the office of being king, not because of Saul, but because of God. And when something is part of God's plan, we can worship him by placing great value on that. It is important for us to value the things that pertain to God, to worship him, to be in his presence, to take the time to be in his presence. You know, that's worshiping the Lord. When we take time to be in his presence and say, Lord, I don't know about you all, but I was talking to Brother David on the phone the other evening when I got home from work, and I said, I'm not sure what I'm going to do this evening, but I just got to pick something and work on it. I got lots of things that need my attention at my house. I have untold amount of projects that need to be come to some level of completion. So, you know, I could be doing some of those this morning. I could be. Some people are. But the reason I'm not is because spending the time here, not just because I'm standing up here and talking, but the spending the time here and taking this time apart in my week to stop and to think about, you know, the Lord died for me. Jesus died for me. He died for you too. And because He was willing to do that, I can resist the enemy in Jesus' name. I can be reconciled with God, and I can have a hope that when this life is over, I mean, that's what we come here for, is to prepare for eternal life, isn't it? So I can come here, I can set this time aside because I want to show the Lord that I'm worshiping Him. This is valuable. I could be doing 100 other things. Okay, maybe not 100. Maybe I could be doing 20 different things realistically this morning that would be good for me. Things that's not getting done this morning. But because I want to worship the Lord, I put a value on that. I elevate the value by saying I'm going to worship the Lord by taking my time that I could be whatever it is, fixing fence, completing some task around the house that probably needs to get done. But I'm going to worship the Lord by spending that time in His presence. In the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel, there was another instance that David and his men came up in the same situation. Saul was trying to take his life, and he took his spear and his water bottle, and then he reprimanded his bodyguard for not protecting him. His bodyguard was there asleep right beside him. And you know, it's important for us to not lose track of why we should worship the Lord and why we should put value on worshiping the Lord. In 2 Samuel, another instance with David, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, David had been raised in a city called, or a place called Bethlehem. That's where Christ was born. And there was a well, a spring of water there, and he thought that he remembered that water tasting so good and so refreshing. And David had men around him that was called mighty men. Some of them were extremely strong physically. Some of them, they all had courage like nobody's business. In verse 16 here it says, "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines." That was the enemy. And they did this because David said, "Oh, I just wish I could have a drink of water from that well. It would be so refreshing." Have you ever been someplace and they had bad water? Well, I grew up before bottled water. And I can remember as a young person visiting a place. We had when Anita and I was first married, we would go up to Welch, Oklahoma, once in a while. And it's not too far from here, but we go up to Welch, and their water tasted awful to me. You go to public, you know, like a civic center is where I remember going and pushing the button at the water fountain, and it's like, I don't think I'm so thirsty after all. It just tasted like something that wouldn't pass the test. And you wanted to go back. You wanted a drink of water from the house, from home. And that's the way David was. Oh, if I could only have a drink of water from home. So his three mighty men, the account here is, the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. Break through the enemy. This is one they were fixing to have a war with. And they got some water and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Did he want the water? Yes, he wanted to taste the water. But it's too holy, it's too valuable for me, a mere mortal, David was thinking, to drink that water. I'm going to have to pour it out before the Lord. There's too much value here. You see, there's a few things that at my place that I'm going to take with me if I move. I'm going to take my mama's hat that she wore at her wedding. I'm going to take my grandpa's anvil. I'm going to take my great-grandmother's glasses. And, you know, I have a lot of stuff. And I've got some old furniture that belonged to some great-grandparents. You know, that's pretty important. I got to draw a line somewheres. But, you know, it's important for us to put that. What is these men, they put their life on the line. Would you drink water recklessly because someone put their life on the line to bring you a cup of water? I want to tell you, David was wanting to honor God in this. You ever do anything just for the purpose of honoring God? Some people say, why do you do that? Why do you act that way? Why won't you do this or why won't you do that? Well, I want to honor the Lord with my life. I want to worship Him. I want Him to be pleased with me. So I put such a high value that I won't allow David wouldn't allow himself. I want you to remember this. He wouldn't allow himself to indulge an appetite he had because he wanted God to know that he worshiped him. That's the reason he did that. Why do you do what you do? Is it all about self-indulgence? I hope not. I hope you do some of the things that you do because you want to worship the Lord. I want the Lord to know I refrained myself because you paid such a great price. I keep myself in check because I want to worship you with my heart and my life and my actions. In Psalms 147, in verse 1, David wrote, is credited with most of the Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 147. In verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. We sing songs this morning. We sang some songs. We sing songs that the Spirit has inspired and to others that's wrote, and I'm amazed at how people can write poetry. I've attempted a few times, and one time, I think, somebody said, that's a pretty good poem. Most of my attempts at writing poetry is just not good, okay? But there's people that has written many, many inspirational songs, and it's good for me. I like to sing those songs, and the words mean something to me. And sometimes when you begin to dig into the words of the songs, it's like, wow. There is a lot of depth in this meaning. It's not just a pretty melody. It's not just words that will fit together. But there's a meaning behind this. There is something that's powerful. And it's worshiping the Lord for deliverance, for victory, for wisdom, for understanding, for mercy. There's many things that we as humans need from the Lord. And when we sing those songs that maybe someone else was inspired to write, it can be true worship to the Lord. So how do we worship the Lord? One of the ways is the songs that we sing. What kind of songs do you sing? Do you sing songs when you're all by yourself and no one's around? I'm not a very good singer by myself. I like to think that when we come here, I can blend in and it not be too much of a distraction. But I'm going to tell you, when I'm by myself, it don't sound real good. But I still like to sing once in a while. But when I'm singing, what am I singing? Am I singing some song that's disrespectful to God? Disrespectful to His ways? Maybe it's something that leads, would be pointing in a direction that's contrary to God's plan? Or do I sing a song and the words playing over in my head about, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me? Is that the songs that I sing? I grew up in a home where my mother sang all the time, it seemed like, especially when she wasn't giving me instruction. She was singing when she washed dishes, and she sang while she run the vacuum sweeper and all of those kind of things. I thought all women sang. I've told you that before. I found out that's not true. The songs she sang were many times the songs that I heard at church. And you know what that told me? It told me what was on my mother's mind. It told me what she was thinking about. It told me what was coming up out of her heart. That's what we sing about. If you have some kind of hatred or vengeance or malice or something, and some kind of evil thought down it, there's a song out there somewhere in this world that'll express that. And I hope you're not singing that. I hope you're not thinking about those kind of words. I hope that, you know, that's how we can worship the Lord. We like to come here and worship the Lord, but I believe we should worship the Lord with our life every day. If somebody sneaks up on me and I'm working by myself, yesterday I was all by myself most of the day and had some little projects I was doing, and if you got up on me and if I was singing some little song, I think you would have been okay with listening to me other than the tone of my voice. But it was songs that would have been worship to the Lord. Okay? Not a song about being mistreated or a song about vengeance or something like that. So think about that. We can worship the Lord when we sing all by ourselves. I'd like to turn to Daniel, the fourth chapter, and notice what happened. You remember Daniel? He's a man that got carried off captive, and the Babylonian king mistreated him in many ways. Won't go into those details, but in 4 and 37, we have the very last verse of this chapter in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in his dream, he didn't understand his dream. And he called Daniel in, and Daniel had asked God for interpretation. And he had given the story in this chapter is that Daniel interpreted the dream, and then the dream came true. And Nebuchadnezzar experienced, he lost his mind for 7 years, so if you remember that story. And this is after he had recovered his abilities, and in the last verse he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, he was the head, he was the leader of all of that. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You know what he learned through his dream and him losing his mind? He learned that he wasn't the most important thing. He learned that God was more important than him. And he found out that God was able to take him from the throne and he was able to put him back in the throne. You know how we can praise the Lord and how we can worship him? By always recognizing the strength that I have, the abilities I have, is because it's a blessing from the Lord. I want to give the Lord credit for helping me accomplish what I have accomplished in life. I've not maybe accomplished what some celebrities have, but I'm not a celebrity either. But I recognize that what I have accomplished, it's because God has helped me. That's been my secret weapon in my occupation. It's been the thing that I have went back to many, many times. Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me know how to resolve this problem or that problem. And I want to worship the Lord by giving him credit for helping me in all of those situations. That's how we can worship the Lord. Can we stand up at church? Can we write it down and whatever? Can we communicate it to other people? Yes, we can. But I want us to live in a manner that shows that we appreciate God's blessings. And that's worship. That's worshiping the Lord. It's not being able to... some people think that they're worshiping the Lord by being able to speak in some intelligible language. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that's really worshiping the Lord. In fact, I believe it's kind of a scary situation to be in. You're out of control in those kind of things. I believe the Lord wants us to do all things decently and in order. We are to be thankful. And when we're thankful, that's giving, that's worshiping the Lord. In Psalms 100, in verse 4, it says for us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Being thankful is part of worshiping the Lord. I'd like to turn now to Psalms 103. And we'll begin at the first verse. I'm going to read several verses here. And I want you to get the context of what this, at the top of the chapter in my Bible, it says a Psalm of David. We've kind of introduced David a little bit to you. He's the one that killed Goliath. He's the one that ran from Saul, respected the office, God's anointing. It says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget and take for granted the blessings God has given. You know, it's easy for us to take things for granted. It's easy for us as when we're children to take our parents for granted and think that they'll always be there and they'll always have solutions to our problems and they'll always be there to come and get us when we're in trouble and all of those kind of things. But that don't always happen. It says, don't forget his benefits. Let us not forget the benefits that the Lord has given us. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? You know the Lord's willing to forgive you. Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. You know, when children are small, many times when they misbehave, they might try to react in a very forceful manner to their parents. And they don't realize that sometimes what they do makes the parents not happy when they do that initially. I was there. My children were there, and my grandchildren are there. But we want a good parent is one that's slow to react, not slow to correct the situation, but slow to let your emotions get involved. You know, the one of the most unwise things we can do as a parent is to become angry with our child. If we become angry with our child, we're going to be effective as a parent. But he says here that God is slow to anger. He's slow to really move with passion. So he says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I want to worship him. I want him to be elevated in my mind. And I want to be thankful for his mercies, his long suffering, his kindness to me when he could have cut me off because I messed up again and again. And he's had mercy on me one more. I want to worship him. I want to pay honor and respect to him. I want us today to think about what we're doing or not doing to worship the Lord. I want it to be something more than a sporadic thing. I want it to be something more than maybe giving of your money or your time. You know, you can make a big deal out of maybe giving a big sum of money to help in a needy situation and say, well, I'm going to worship the Lord here and I'm going to help this needy situation in the community or whatever. I want us to think about how are we living? And is the way I'm living, am I really elevating the value of God's cause? If others look on, can they say they really worship the Lord with their life? Or are they looking on and say, you know, those that roll out the mat might be guilty of some pretty violent acts. I want my worship to God to be different than that. I want them to know that there is a meekness and a temperance in me, that there is something that I have on hand that's more than just a mat, and it's more than a ritual. I come here on Sunday because we can all agree to get here at the same time. But I want the rest of my time to be in worship to the Lord too. I don't want you to come see me on Tuesday afternoon and find me in a place that would be discrediting what I say on Sunday. Does that make sense? I don't want you to come find me on Friday night doing something that causes your jaw to drop. I want you to find me in a place that says, okay, I remember what he said on Sunday, and I can see why he does or doesn't do what he did, because I want my life to be something that's truly worshiping the Lord. It's a challenge for me because I have just as many temptations to fly off the handle. I have just as many temptations to feel injustice. I have just as many temptations to be arrogant, to feel pride, to feel all of those emotions that all of us deal with. I have just as many temptations to react in a negative manner as anyone else here. But I want you to know that I sincerely desire to live a life that truly worships the Lord. And I hope that you do too. You pray for me.